Okay, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, at the top of the page, the Mishnah lists certain Isurim, and though we've been dealing with how to kasher certain things and all sorts of mixtures, this list in the Mishnah are items that, in general, though we say that a mixture is what's called batal b'shishim, 1 in 60 allows you to treat the whole mixture as mutter, even though something usr is inside of it. These items are what's called osrin b'chol shehu. Even a small drop of this falls in your mixture and it's a giant vat and it's not 1 in 60, it's 1 in 1,000 or more, it's still usr because of the chumrah of the stringency related to these items. Elu asurin, these items are forbidden, prohibited, v'osrin b'chol shehu, and they prohibit the rest of the mixture with even the smallest drop. Yayin nesech, wine that was used for sacramental purposes for avodah zarah. Ve'avodah kochavim, a avodah zarah. What's a mixture? Like, let's say you have, I don't know, a room full of bowls, and one of the bowls was used for avodah zarah, and the other bowls are just bowls. You want a bowl. Can I take one of these bowls? Well, one of them was used for avodah zarah. So the answer is no. That avodah zarah item now makes the rest of them usr. Now, when it comes to yayin nesech, Rashi tells us that this isn't referring to a drop of wine. This is referring to a barrel of wine. You have a storehouse filled with barrels of wine, and a lot of them have kosher wine. One of them has this avodah zarah wine. It got mixed up. We don't know which it is. All that wine now can't be used. And the avodah zarah, again, you have a cup or a bowl, and it's mixed up with all the other ones. They all can't be used by you. And we say they're usr. This means even usr behana, even to derive benefit from it. Ve'orot levuvin. This is a hide of an animal that has a hole near its heart or in its skin. And the Ravid tells us that part of avodah zarah, based on a sugya on 29b, on Chavtan Amud Bet, that part of some kind of form of avodah zarah was to make a hole in the animal in a certain way. This hole wasn't like a special hole. It was just a hole. So if you knew there was a skin with a hole that was used for avodah zarah, and you have other skins with a hole, and this hole is indistinguishable, so now the rest of the skins, again, cannot be used by you because it looks just like the one that was avodah. You have to presume it was that one if you don't know which it was. If you marked it, and the others are fine, so then the others are fine. The hole is not the problem per se. The hole is being a part of a process of them using it for avodah zarah. That is the problem. Veshor haniskal ve'egla arufa. Shor haniskal is a ox that the Beis Din has decided has to be put to death. If it gored a human, or if it gored too many times, another animal. So at a certain point, the Beis Din might decide this ox has to be put to death. And the way it's done is that it is stoned. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that already from Gzar Din, meaning from the time of the verdict, this ox is considered shor haniskal, the ox that must be stoned, and it is asur bahana. So if this ox was put into a barn with many other oxen, and you don't know which is the one that was the shor haniskal, so you can't get benefit from any of the oxen in that room. So too with egla arufa. There was a ceremony that when a body was found between two towns, so the members of the town would have to go through this whole ceremony to say, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh, we are not responsible for this man's death. And that room didn't have chairs and they told me it's in here.
Okay.
No problem. So the Egla Arufa, that ceremony, so again, that ram, that calf that they use in the ceremony is from, part of the ceremony was they walked in near a river, they walked it towards a cliff. So from the point when they walk in near that river, the Gemara Kedushin tells us already at that point. So again, if this one were to break free and now he's mixed up with a whole shed, whole field full of similar animals and we can't tell which is which, so then this Egla Rufa is Asur Ba'ana. Vitzipore Mitzora, a person who gets Tzarat, part of what he has to do is he has to go through a process to come and rejoin society. One of the things he has to do is bring a korban that consists of those birds. Again, if one of the birds breaks away and joins up with a whole nest of other birds, so you cannot get benefit from those. Ve'sear nazir, the hair. After a person is a nazir, nazir is generally for 30 days, so at the end of 30 days, he does cut his hair and bring a korban and rejoin society. So that hair is also asr bana. If it got mixed up somehow with other hair, whatever you would want to use the hair for, you cannot use that hair now because it includes some of the nazir's hair as well. Upeter chamor. This is the animal, just like we do pigeon aben. So this similarly we have to do with a donkey. We actually, it's one of those interesting mitzvahs that people rarely come across. As rare as pigeon aben is, pigeon peter chamor is even a little more rare. But again, if the one that was supposed to be redeemed gets mixed up and now we don't know which it is, that's a problem.
Why does it say chamor and not other, there's something
specific? It's exeris. The pasuk uses the word chamor, and it's specifically about a donkey. Okay, now you can look the parshanim there, why specifically a donkey, Hashem chose that mitzvah. And now you're getting into tamei ha-mitzvot. But the mitzvah specifically for a donkey, it's not on every animal. There's no pigeon peter oaf. You know, there's specifically about a donkey. We exchange the donkey for a sheep, we give that to a kohen. There's a whole ceremony, just like we do with the coins for pigeon aben. There is a whole process.
The origins from the Talmud.
From the Chumash.
From the Chumash?
From the Chumash. There's a pasuk in the Chumash. Okay. So as long as the animal wasn't redeemed, it's asr bana, so that's why we redeem it. If it gets mixed up with other animals, now we don't know which it is. Basar b'chalav. We are not allowed to derive benefit from milk and meat. Right? The Torah tells us, lo tevashel gadi b'chalev imo, three times. So we have an iser achila, an iser bishel, and an iser hana. We are not allowed to derive benefit from it. But it's very important. Rashi says, the long Rashi here on the right, he says, ta'ut hu b'yadom. There's a mistake some people make. They read this mission and they think that means that the minute a drop of milk falls in your meat mixture, or a drop of meat falls in your milk mixture, it's all asr bana. He says, that's not true. Milk in your meat mixture is batel b'shishim. That's how rabbis make their living, from people calling them up and going, a drop of milk just fell in my fleishig soup. Or a drop of, I put the fleishig spoon and mixed my milchig pot. That's what we do all day and all night. What's up? Phone calls, emails. That's what keeps us busy. So that's not true that it's asr bana. What is true, meaning that's batel b'shishim, if it's 1 in 60. But let's say it was more than 60. Now you have an item that's been rendered not kosher because it was more than 60. And that gets mixed up with other items. Now they're all asr bana. Okay, Rashi points out that it's not talking about the drop of milk. It's talking about the basar b'chalav that it was already ruled asr is not batel. If it falls into your something else, it gets mixed up with other pieces, those are now all asr. V'se'ir ha-mishtalech, again, the goat we throw off the cliff. So we designated a certain one. So that goat, if it ran away and broke free and now is hiding amongst other goats, so we have a problem getting hana from any of those. V'chulin shenishkatu ba'azara. You are not allowed to just have your barbecue, fun, siyum, party, bar mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is where we do kachim, all the holy sacrifices, all the korbanot that we bring. And therefore, if you were to slaughter just your home-cooked meal in the Beis HaMikdash, that item is now asr bana, and the Gemara Kedushin derives it from psukim. All of those, harei elu asurin ve'osrin b'choshu. All those items are forbidden, prohibited, and they prohibit or render forbidden any mixture that they become part of it. So that was the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Tana, Maika Chashiv, what is the author of this Mishnah counting? Meaning he has a list. I'm sure we could come up with other items that render things prohibited. So it seems that his list must be, he has certain criteria that he's making, that he's using when he's making this list. And what would that be? So, E davar shebe minyan kachashiv. What is a davar shebe minyan? That's any item that is counted. As opposed to saying, give me a cup of flour, give me a bowl of this, a barrel of this, right? If I want wine, I have to buy a bottle, a barrel, liters of it. There are items that when you buy them individually. Give me a dozen eggs. Give me one of those. Give me seven of those. Okay? Certain items aren't sold by volume or weight. They're sold by the item. So if this Tana is only trying to count things that are so significant, he's only listing things that are so significant that they're always counted individually, litni nami chatichon nevela. So then there's an item he left out of his list. What item did he leave out of his list? So the Gemara in Chulin, Sadi Vav Amud Bet, tells us that there's something called a chaticha haru'uya lit kabed. There's a nice piece of meat. You go to the butcher and you say, give me seven steaks. Give me three spare ribs, three filet mignon. You just want a certain cut. So at a certain point, you're not saying, give me 3 pounds of chopped meat. You're saying, give me three of this item. So the item is significant enough to be this nice dish. It's counted on its own. So let's say this nice steak comes from a nevela. Nevela is an animal that died on its own. It's just a carcass, meaning it wasn't shechted, wasn't ritually slaughtered. So this item is not for us to eat. So how come he doesn't mention that one? So let's come up with something else. Maybe the Tana is just listing items that are asur ba'ana. I isurei ana kachashiv l'neinami chametz of Pesach. A very timely Gemara. There's other items that are asur ba'ana. We are not allowed to derive benefit on Pesach from chametz. Chametz before Pesach is batel b'shishim, 1 in 60. If you had a drop of chametz that fell into your, you know, giant vat of milk before Pesach, your milk can still be kasher l'Pesach. But on Pesach, even 1 in millions and billions, isn't batel. And the whole thing becomes asur ba'ana. You're not allowed to derive any benefit from it. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, v'itemer Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha, hai tana tarte itle. No, he's using both. Only davar sheba minyan v'isurei ana. His list is all items that you count individually and are asur ba'ana. Okay. I bet you we can find things that fit that category too. For example, Vilitne, let him include egoze perech, certain type of brittle nuts, virimone badan, and pomegranates that come from this certain place, badan, the davar sheba minyanhu. It's an item that is counted individually because they're significant, like, give me 3 rimone badan, please. And they are asur ba'ana. Why are they asur ba'ana? Because we are talking about orla, fruit that grows on the tree for the first few years. You're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to get benefit from. We can't even use it as a fertilizer, let's say. So the Gemara says, Hatanale Hatam. No, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Orla on that topic. Haroy le orla, orla. Haroy le klaya kerem, klaya kerem. Meaning if a little bit of those fruit gets mixed up with other fruit, and it's supposed to be, and some of those fruit were orla, so all those fruit are now orla. We have some of those fruit that are klaya kerem. Klaya kerem are mixtures that pertain to vines. We're not allowed to combine crops. That's called kelayim. So those that got mixed up with, those kinds of fruit that got mixed up with other fruit, so all those fruit are considered klaya kerem. So that is not going to be in our Mishnah's list. Okay. Velitne kikarot shel bala bayit linyan chametz v'pesach. Chazal consider bakers make tons of bread. And they all look the same and they're standard and so you might buy them as a bunch. But a homemaker makes a loaf of bread, puts his heart into it, and it's a significant item. So you would sell, this is Reuven's loaf of bread. This is a specific, significant item. So this should be davar sheba minyan, because it's his loaf. It's just a single item. Significant. It's not sold by the pound or volume or weight. And also, it's asur ba'ana, because chametz on Pesach is asur ba'ana. You cannot derive benefit from it. So, man shamata the asur le Rabbi Akiva. Who is it that says this is not batel? That is the view of Rabbi Akiva. Ha, Tana lehatan, Rabbi Akiva Mosif Afki Grochel Balabait. Indeed, if you want to say that this Mishnah should have included that list, that only follows the view of Rabbi Akiva. We indeed have a Breita where Rabbi Akiva, where this list appears, this whole Mishnah appears, and Rabbi Akiva says, add one more to this list. Please add Ki Karochel Balabait, the loaves of bread of a homemaker. Okay, that was the first sugya here. The Mishnah concluded with the words, Hare Elu Asurin Va'osrin V'Choshehu. When there's a list in a Mishnah, and then the Mishnah says, Hare Elu, these items, it's coming to say these items, as opposed to some other items. So the Gemara wants to know, Hare Elu Nemute Mai. What is it coming to exclude? What is not in this list? Nemute Davar Sheba Minyan V'Lav Yisurin Ana. Once again, since Artana had two factors here, so if it's only one of the factors, then it's not going to be included. So if it's a significant item, but not Asr Bana, it's just Asr, you can't eat it, but you can derive benefit from it. Inami lumute isurei na veloda rishaminyan, or if it's Asr Bana, you can't derive benefit from it, but it's not a significant item that it's sold on its own, it is not included in this Mishnah. That was the first Mishnah of this daf. Second Mishnah. Yayin Nesech. We have, again, the sacramental wine. Shenafa lebor. A drop of it falls into a cistern. And there is a lot of wine in that cistern. Kulo asurbana. All that wine is now prohibited for you to derive benefit from it. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, yimacher kulo lovid kochavim, chutz mi dme yayin nesech shebo. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel has a lenient opinion. He says, no. You can now sell the whole mixture to a non-Jew, minus the amount of the prohibited wine. Meaning, this vat now has 50 liters, a liter of wine fell in, so we made it from 49 to 50, so you sell him 50 liters of wine, minus 1 liter of wine. So the Gemara is going to explain, we'll see, that it means that you sell him 50 liters of wine, and you're going to take 1 liter of wine's value. So let's say it's $50, just to make our math easy. So you're going to take $1 and throw it away, get rid of it. So you're only going to get $49 from your sale, and thereby you are not benefiting from the fact that this prohibited wine fell into your vat, into your cistern. Amar Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, chavit b'chavit, avol lo yayin b'yayin. When it comes to barrels of wine that got mixed up, so we have a room full of barrels, and one of them is yayin nesech, so we actually paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. I could sell all 50 barrels of wine to somebody and throw away the value of one of them. But if wine actually fell into the rest of my wine, into the vat, so then we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we paskin like the Tana Kama, and it's all asurvana. It's prohibited to derive benefit from it. Ushmul amar, afilu yayin b'yayin. No, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, even regarding wine in your vat. Rabbi Bar Chana quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who said the same thing. We paskin leniently, even when it's wine in the rest of the cistern. Okay, we have a list of people who all paskin accordingly. All these poskim rabbanim were lenient, like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha l'maisa, yayin nesech, yayin b'yayin aser, chavit b'chavit mutter. When it comes to yayin nesech, so if it's wine that got mixed up with other wine in the cistern, it's all aser. Chavit b'chavit, but one barrel got mixed up with another barrel, it's all mutter. Not mutter, get rid of the money. Mutter completely. Stam yayin, afilu yayin bi yayin mutter. Sorry, I take back what I said about the mutter. The chavit be chavit is mutter, meaning the way we said that you just withhold that little bit. But when it comes to the leniency here, is stam yayin. What's stam yayin? Yayin nesech is the wine that they actually use for sacramental purposes. They made it into avodah zarah. Stam yayin is a gzera derabanan on wine that a non-Jew handled. They ossered any wine that a non-Jew handled, lest we come to drink the yain or get hanav from yain nesech. But that's gzeirah derabanan. So since it's gzeirah derabanan, that wine, stam yain, falls into your vat, it doesn't make the whole wine usser, it is mutter. And again, that means that you sell it all to a guy, and you take the little bit of money that was that part's value, and you, the Gemara's term is that you throw it into Yam HaMelech. Let it, you know, throw it down the drain. Okay, turn over. We are on Ayin Dalet Amud Bet. Next Mishnah. Gat Shel Evan. You have a wine press made of stone. Shezafta Ove Kochavim. A non-Jew tarred it or lined it with pitch. So now you want to use this wine press. Can you? So the Gemara says yes. Minagva, you clean it, you rinse it. Rashi tells us, you know, a spoiler from the Gemara, that it means you clean it with water and afer. I guess you have to sort of get rid of any existing taste. So you ruin the taste with some ash. Power wash it. So you're getting rid of it. Minagva vihi tahora. And you can use it. But shel eitz, let's say this wine press were wood as opposed to stone, Rebbe Omer Yinagev, you can clean it. V'chachamim Omrim Yeklof et Azefet. You have to remove, peel off all the pitch that he lined it with. V'shel Cheres, and if it's earthenware, Afal Pish Yekalav et Azefet. Even that, Harezo Asura, it is Asur. Chazal really view Cheres, earthenware, as being very absorbent, and its taste never leaves. That is the Mishnah. Amarava. Dafka Zafta. It's specifically if he lined it with pitch. What if he didn't line it with pitch, but he trod his grapes in it? What if he used it for his wine? So he didn't line it with pitch, and he previously used it for his wine. Can you use it? So he says, no, that is not allowed. So the Gemara says, pshita, zafta tanan. It's specifically, the language of the Mishnah was that he tarred it, that he lined it with pitch. So the Gemara says, no, even if he used it for his wine. It's telling you the normal way of things. The way people who line cisterns with pitch is that afterwards they fill it with wine. So therefore, it used that word, zafta. But it's not telling you this as opposed to that. You might have thought that, therefore, kamash malan, don't think that. That is one version. We have an Ikad Da'amri. The Ikad Da'amri is an alternate version of Rava's statement. Again, in Gemara, everything's being transmitted orally. So we have another version of what Rava might have said. Ikad Da'amri. Amar Rava, Dafka Zafta. Only if it was just lined with pitched. Aval Darachba. But if he also put in wine, Lo Sagi Laben Nigav. It is not enough to clean it. Meaning, there is no way to help you out of that situation. Pshita. Once again, it's obvious. The Mishnah uses the word zafta. Zafta tznan. Maudetema. What might you have said? Huadinda filu darachba. Even if he also used it for his wine. Vahai diktani zafta or milchaktani. Again, why did it use that word? The normal way. Kamash malan dafka zafta. Aval darachba lo sagila benigov. In such a case, cleaning it does not work. As in the following story. Ki hahu, there was a man, the Atta Lekame de Rabbi Chia, came into the base medrash of Rabbi Chia and said, Amrle, Havli Gavra de Dachi Limatzarta. I want to be machshir my wine press. Please send me a mashkiach. Send someone to come watch it, make sure I'm doing everything right, that it's all going to be kosher, kedat v'kedin. Amrle l'rav. So Rabbi Chia sends, tells Rav, Zil Bahadeh, go with him. V'chazi delom et safchat alai be'midrasha. See to it that this man doesn't come to the base medrash and yell at me afterwards. In other words, go do a good job. I don't want to hear this, any flack, any feedback afterwards. Azal, chazye dehava shaya tve. The walls were straight and smooth. Amar, havadai benigov sagile. All he has to do is clean it. Mahadi de Kazil, as he's going, he's walking back and forth. Chaza pila mitute. He saw there was a crack in it. The chaza dehava male chamra. And in the crack was filled with the wine that was previously from the non-Jew. Amar halo sagila beniguv ela bekilif. Nope, he can't just clean it. He has to peel it. He has to thoroughly remove everything from it. V'hainu de amar li chavivi. And this is what my uncle Rabbi Chia meant when he said to me, Chazit lo mitzafkel I beit medrash. Make sure the guy doesn't come back to me. Meaning, don't take it for granted. It's not going to be so simple. The reason why he made that statement to me, instead of just go with him, but he said, make sure he doesn't come back to me with tainus, with claims, is because it's not such a simple story. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braita. Hagat, we have a cistern. This one's of earthenware. Vaham machatz, which is a utensil used to draw wine, like a ladle. Vaham mashbech, a funnel. Shel oved kochavim. These all belong to a non-Jew. Can you use them? You bought them from him. You borrowed them from him. Can you use them? Rebbe matir beniguv. If you clean them out thoroughly, no problem. V'chachamim osrin. The sages, the majority view, forbid it. Mode Rebbe bekankanim shalov of the kochavim. There were these earthenware jugs that non-Jews owned, and sometimes you could borrow them if you just thoroughly clean them. Sorry, even the earthenware jugs, Rebbe's agreeing to Chachamim that they're Aser. Right? Chachamim are Oser. All those things, Rebbe was Mater, all those things. But Rebbe agrees in the earthenware jugs of Avdi Chachamim that Shehen Asurin, they are forbidden from use. Uma Hefresh Ben Zelezeh. Why are those different? If he's willing to allow you to use their God and Machatz and Mashpech once you've cleaned it out, why would their earthenware jugs be any different? Ze machniso bikiyum, vize eno machniso bikiyum. Here, these items, when you use a ladle, what do you use? You pick up the wine, you pour it into something. How long is it in the ladle? 2 seconds? That doesn't matter, and therefore you could just clean it. The funnel, that's the nature of funnels. It goes down, gravity helps, and there's nothing in the funnel after a few seconds. That's the point of the funnel. But here, what's the point of the earthenware jug? That's what he stores it in. Since it's stored there, I guess it absorbs a lot of the taste, and therefore it is a problem, and you can't use them even if you clean them. Vishel eitz, vishel even. What if it's not earthenware? What if it's from a wood or from stone? Yinagev. Then you can clean them. Vim hayum zupafin asurin. But if they were lined with pitch, again, that same shoresh from the beginning of our Mishnah, shezofta, he tarred it, he lined it with pitch, then they're asur. That's the breita. So the Gemara questions. Vahatznan, didn't we say in our Mishnah, God shall even, shezofta ovid kochavim min nagva vihitara? You could clean it. And here we just said, the last line of the Breita, shel etza shel even, yinagev, imayu mizu puffin asurim. If he lined it with pitch, then it's usur. So our Mishnah says, if you clean it, it's tower. And here it says, if it's lined with pitch, it's usur. Stira. Contradiction. No. Our Mishnah is a case where the person merely lined it with pitch and didn't then fill it with wine. Our Breita is where he lined it with pitch and proceeded to trod his grapes in it. Amar Mar. We are quoting a line of this Breita. Hagat, v'hamachatz, v'hamashpech, the cistern, the ladle, the funnel, shel of the kochavim, Rebbe matir benigov, v'chachamim osrim. Rebbe allows you to clean it and chachamim forbid it. Again, we have a question on this. V'ha'anan t'nan, shel cheres, again, the ending line of our Mishnah says, if it was from earthenware, it's usur. And that seems to be the view. So now this Breita is saying that it's a machloket, Remi and Chachamim. Not clear as day as cited in our Mishnah. Amarava, Seifa demanitin atan Rabbanan. The end of our Mishnah is indeed only according to Rabbanan. Although our Mishnah presented this view as unanimous, it's indeed only according to the view of the Rabbanan. Rebbe indeed disagreed. Darash Rava. Nava Artachu. If you have a tank of wine, so you want to be, you can, and they scald it in order to be machshir, in order to clean this cistern with hot water. So that is how you can clean it. And Gemara tells us that Rava himself, ki hava mishadar gofel harpanya. Harpanya was a place, and he would sometimes send his empty kegs there. So when he did that, Sachef lehu apumayu, he would turn them over on their mouth, v'chatem lehu abirtzayu, and he put a seal on the bottom after it was inserted upside down to make sure that the guy wouldn't use them on the way for his own wine. That would impart flavor to his jugs, and now he wouldn't be able to use them. So he would put a seal to make sure they don't get used. Kasavar kol davar shem machniso lekiyum afilu lefisha gazru beirabanan. Again, we saw in our Breita that the difference with Rebbe was Mechalek, he distinguished between items that are meant for storing or items that are used for storing. Here, it's an item used for storing. But how long is it storing for? The guy's going, a few miles, getting something, coming back. But because it's used for storing, Rava was machmir to say, since it's an item used for storing, I can't use it if the guy put his wine in it. That doesn't mean that it's when the guy stored his wine in it. It's even if the guy put his wine in something used for storing, we are machmir on it. Bameh min agvan. This is what, again, Rashi gave you a spoiler I told you on the Mishnah. How is it that you clean it? So Rav amar b'mayim. Rav says, water. Rav bar bar chana amar b'efer. You use like a drying agent and detergent. You use this ash. Rav amar b'mayim. B'mayim v'lo b'efer? Does he really mean just water? Rav bar bar chana amar b'efer. B'efer v'lo b'mayim? Rav bar chana says you just use ash. Does he mean just ash, no water? Meaning, are they speaking exclusive of each other, or are they each listing items that maybe we really need? So let's finish up with the last line on the next page, meaning the first line on the next page, but because not to stop in the middle of a sentence. El Rav Amar B'mayim, V'hu Adin Le'efer. First water, then ash. Rav Bar Bar Chana Amar Le'efer, V'hu Adin Le'mayim. First ash, then water. The low pligi, there's no machloket between them. Habra tifta, habi yaveshta. If it's already ratuv, if it's already damp or wet, so then just add ash and then rinse it with water. If it's dry when you're starting, first you need water. So the mefarshim, the rishonim here say it's a machloket whether you just need ashes and water or water, ashes, and water. Okay? But everybody agrees you need that combination of ashes and water. And we will pick up here tomorrow. Shkar.